What up? What up? What up? Good evening. How are you out there? It is Thursday, April 18th, a little after 8 p.m. in the evening. I am just settling in to record this episode after taking my little dog, Josie, to the park. We had a little excursion, just let her roam off leash in this huge park, and she's been loving that. So I thought I would come back home and record this, as I have been procrastinating in recording this specific episode. I've had the notes and my preparation sheet ready to go for this episode for a while, but I've just been hesitating to record it because I think mostly I really don't want to offend anyone by the topic of this episode or the things I'm going to reference, but I'm just ready to get this recorded, and I did promise this episode, and I know I mentioned it in my last episode that was entitled Deep in the Heart of Texas, where I talked about my move to Dallas, Texas. And I referenced recording an episode of the podcast focused on why I left DC. So this episode, as you've already seen from the title, it's called DC is Dusty. I'm using this more so for pizzazz and, you know, to really get attention. But I do truly love DC. It's totally a city, a metro region that I would consider moving back to at a different point in my life. I definitely do not hate DC. I don't want to offend anyone, any of my friends and people I know who still live in the greater DMV, because it is a beautiful area. It's a great area to live, clearly. I mean, so many people have flocked to the DC area. So by no ways with me recording this am I looking to bash or to make fun or to make light of this current state of the city, because that's not my intention at all. It's really just to highlight for me, and this is quite personal to me, the reasons why I chose to leave at this point after being in the area for so many years. I've spent the largest chunk of my life in the DMV outside of Ohio, which is my home state. But before I do that, let's just do a little catch up, shall we? Because it's been a few weeks since I last recorded, and I've just been living. Like, we've been thriving, we've been sliving, as Paris Hilton would say. I've just been trying to adjust to life in the DFW, another city, a metro region with a three-letter acronym. But the DFW, I'm trying to adjust to that, DMV to DFW, somewhat similar sounding three-letter acronyms, but I digress. But I've just been trying to practice a normal schedule again now that I've moved and it's settled, and yeah, you just know the dust has settled after this whole quite lengthy process. So just been working out a lot. I've been pretty consistent with my Orange Theory. I'll be up tomorrow morning for another workout. So I've just been enjoying, honestly, checking out the Orange Theory studios around Dallas, and kind of getting a feel for the coaches there. If you haven't heard before, I mean, I did a whole episode about it, but I am very passionate and a believer in all things Orange Theory. So it was pretty natural for me to get back into that once I settled here. And I just transferred my membership over from Maryland, which is where I was based before. So I'm just trying to get into really good shape. I really want to be in the best shape ever by summer, and I say this every year, but I've really been committed to the workouts, committed to the activity, the strength training, the weightlifting, I've been committed to just pushing myself physically. And along with that, just also getting back to healthy eating habits, which has been difficult, which has been quite difficult here in Texas. If I did not mention that on my last episode, I'm pretty sure I did, but I want to reiterate that it's not the easiest to eat healthy here, especially coming from the DC area. So this is a plus. One plus for DC is that DC is overwhelmingly pretty healthy in terms of there being lots of healthy food options in every corner. I was joking with people here that, you know, in DC, like, Sweet Green is basically like McDonald's. Like, you could find a Sweet Green on any corner. No matter where you are. And that's kind of just how I feel. So coming into Dallas, like, it's not impossible to eat healthy, but it's a ton more barbecue, it's a ton more tacos, it's a lot more Tex-Mex. I mean, drinking culture is big here too, but yeah, I would say, at least maybe just where I am right now, the food options aren't the most diverse in terms of healthiness, in terms of vegan and vegetarian leaning. So because of that too, I've just been cooking more at home. I've really been leaning into more fish and chicken, and I'm really getting back to cutting out red meat after a good amount of time sticking to a mostly keto diet where I eat a lot of different meat and protein. So I'm just kind of getting over that and trying to get back into lighter meats and less red meat, if that makes sense. So that's been a priority. I've also been meeting new friends, mixing and mingling. I've had a great time getting to know people here. Have really been enjoying that and just exploring the city, checking out new events. Like, that is really what I love to do. I love to explore and to find hidden gems and to see what's available in different neighborhoods. So I have been doing some of that. Some recent events I've gone to this past weekend, a friend and I went to the Dallas Reggae Festival, which was not far, and that was a lot of fun. And surprisingly, a pretty good reggae lineup considering we are in Texas. North Texas. And great music, great food, plenty of food. Again, I've been going to some comedy shows. I went to the Dallas Comedy Club for a black comedy event, which is pretty nice. Improv comedy as well. I went to a 20s themed party and got to dress up in a fun flapper dress. I've been exploring areas like Deep Ellum. And I was a little hesitant to explore Deep Ellum given everyone's warnings around crime and just the violence after hours. And everyone has told me, or I've read online, that it's much safer to go during the day. So I've gone during the day. I've gone at night as well. I didn't really do too much exploring at night given all the hoopla, but it really wasn't that bad. And I don't know, maybe coming from the East Coast and spending time in cities like Philly and DC and Baltimore, like, Deep Ellum isn't that bad, but, you know, definitely has an interesting crowd after a certain hour, I will say. But doing stuff like that has been really fun for me, being able to, just put on my explorer hat, and gives me an opportunity to learn the city as well, which has been great. I also want to mention the church I've been going to. I'm sure I've mentioned this to a lot of people. You've probably seen me post about being at the church, but I have been attending Social Dallas almost every week since I've moved here. I started going there the first Sunday, and I've been to Social Dallas before moving here. I visited before. I've been very familiar with the Madus for some time, and I first learned of Robert Madu when he came to DC, actually, for a Christian youth leaders conference that I had gone to, because at the time I was serving in a leadership role for the young adult ministry at my at the time church in Maryland, which was the First Baptist Church of Glenarden. And that's a pretty big church. So we were invited to a conference, and Robert Madu actually spoke at this conference. And ever since then, I've just really have enjoyed his teaching, his leadership. Like, I've just always enjoyed him. One time, also another kind of story around the Madus and Robert Madu, but one time when I was visiting Miami on a solo trip, and I think I was staying there a week, I did go and visit VU Church, which is another great church down in Miami. And who would you believe, the one Sunday I'm there, the guest preacher is Robert Madu. So it's just such a crazy, you know, kind of full circle moment that I would end up in Dallas and now attending, and I'll probably end up joining Social Dallas. And Social Dallas is a really new church, very young, I'll say, like overwhelmingly full of young people and young families. But yeah, really powerful ministry, really just warm, welcoming environment. And of course, as I mentioned, I love Robert Madu's style of teaching, and his just knowledge of scripture is great. And he is just very engaging, very lively. Like, he, you know, he's great. He's a great preacher. So doing that as well, going to Social Dallas, which has been really enjoyable. I don't know if you heard that in the background, but my dog just woke up. I thought she was fast asleep after all of our playtime at the park, but she just woke up. But the other thing we've been doing is just exploring dog parks around this area. I would say every week we go to at least one or two different dog parks. So we're trying to get my dog more social. She is the sweetest, most friendly, most loving, affectionate dog ever. Truly a sweetheart. But it takes her a bit of warming up when it comes to socializing and engaging with other dogs at dog parks. I think for her, dog parks are especially overwhelming just given the number of dogs, given her small size in comparison to all the other dogs there. So yeah, it's been an interesting go of just trying to get her comfortable being one, at the dog park, but two, just playing with the other dogs. Like, that is my end goal. I would love to see her play and be free and frolic and, you know, race with the other dogs. So we're working our way up to that, but baby steps. And I think we made a lot of progress. I think we made a ton of progress. Even just today at the park, we were, my dog is literally 11 pounds. She is so tiny. Sometimes people think she looks like a rabbit from a distance. No lie. But today we were at the park. This is not a dog park. A regular park. Huge. And there's this German Shepherd that we see very often in this particular park. And, you know, the dogs are off leash. But my dog, she was so good. She was so comfortable and calm with this giant German Shepherd. And this is such a stark difference from just 2 weeks ago when we had first met this same German Shepherd. So I think she's doing pretty well. I think our very frequent recurring trips to these busy parks is helping her get more acclimated and get more socialized. So I'm very excited about that. And I've also been enjoying just being outside, being at the parks, of course. And lastly, of course, the solar eclipse. That was a really big event here in Dallas because this city was the largest city in the path of the totality, I guess. And please correct me if I'm wrong. Like, I'm probably not explaining that correctly, but it was a big deal here in Dallas. As I mentioned, there were a lot of events taking place, a lot of parties, watch parties, across the region, and I planned to go to one until I was pulled into a Monday afternoon meeting, and then I wasn't able to, but I still ended up going outside. I have to be honest, I just felt weird about the eclipse. After reading this article about Native Americans, or I should say Indigenous people to the Americas, and how they felt very strongly on a spiritual level about not exposing themselves physically to the eclipse as it was happening. They really did believe in taking shelter, and they would actually wear black, and you know, they would protect their physical bodies from whatever is happening, you know, on a spiritual level with this eclipse. So I don't know, something about that was just like very intriguing. And then, so I just felt, I think, less motivated, honestly. I felt less motivated to go outside and take it in. So I didn't really do the whole thing, y'all. I know it's going to sound like very, curmudgeon-ish, or maybe like a little bit of a party pooper, but that was not the case. Like, it was still a very cool moment to experience the totality here and to experience the dark here for 4 minutes. Like, it really did get completely dark, like nighttime dark, for 4 minutes, and people were screaming and shouting, and I was literally just here at home, but on the balcony. And you could see everyone around with their glasses and just celebrating and cheering. So it was a very unique moment. But I have to be honest, I just felt weird about it. I did, and I felt weird about it that whole day. Like, my whole energy was off. And I don't think it is, you know, I don't think it's just something I'm imagining because of the eclipse. Like, I really truly felt for that whole week, honestly, like, it kind of started that day, which I guess was a Monday, right? Yeah. But it was like that the rest of that week too. I just felt totally off, totally drained. If you know, like, I don't know if you could, I don't know how else to describe that, but I just had that feeling, and then it passed by the end of the weekend. But that was kind of a strange week. Not to go off on a tangent about the eclipse, but a cool moment, just not one that I was fully participating in and kind of halfway observed, but still thought it was kind of cool. And the last thing I'll mention is that I commemorated my move to Texas, to Dallas, with the purchase of a very cute black cowboy hat. And I am so excited about that. I just need to figure out how to wear that. I'm not a big hat person, but I just felt it was so appropriate to get a cowboy hat. And I know a billion ways I could style it. I'm just not a huge hat person, but I would definitely wear this in the summertime. You know, I think people here in Texas do use their cowboy hats to protect them from the sun, right? Am I just reading that totally wrong, or just misunderstanding that? But I thought people use cowboy hats to block the sun here. But I have one now, so I'm very excited about it. And yeah, I knew I wanted to do that for a while, so I did that a couple weeks ago. Now that we've gotten that catch-up out of the way, let's get into the topic of this episode. So as I mentioned, I lived in the DMV for a significant amount of time. I lived there for a total of over 11 years. So not quite 12, a little over 11. And it's a significant chunk of my life. All of my young adult years were spent in the DMV. Before moving to the DMV, lived in Philly. I was doing AmeriCorps with a nonprofit in Philly called Empowerment Group, which is no longer in existence, which is very shocking to me and kind of sad because it was such an amazing nonprofit with a really cool history. But I worked at this nonprofit in Philly before briefly going back to Ohio, and I worked for an architecture and engineering firm in Ohio. And but I knew I wanted to come back to the East Coast, right, after living in Philly. And I knew I was not supposed to stay in the Midwest. I had no desire to put down any roots in Ohio. That was never part of my plan. So that period of me being in Ohio was very rough for me because I never, like, that was never part of my lifelong goals. And I always considered myself an East Coast girly. So I knew I either wanted to go back to Philly, or I felt very strongly about D.C., although I hadn't really spent much time in D.C. I just knew it was like the place to be. I knew young black professionals were flocking to D.C. It was just like, at the time, like, kind of trendy, I guess, to move to the DMV. But yeah, I just felt very strongly about it. I knew there were a lot of good job opportunities in the DC area as well. So at the time, like I mentioned, I was still in Ohio. So the story of how I wound up in DC, or the DMV, I'll say, to be specific. But I was still working at this architecture and engineering firm. I was kind of miserable, right? Because I was still in Ohio. I didn't really like this job. I have not mentioned this company's name, have I? I don't think so. But if I have, I will edit that out because I'm really not trying to put the company on blast. I'm really not trying to do that. But I just was not happy. And like I said, I knew I wanted to relocate. What I did at the time, I was 22. I actually created a Facebook advertising campaign for myself, creating ads about myself and my experience and linking to my resume. And I had, I think, an About Me website. I don't know if people still use About Me to create personal websites and portfolios, but at the time that was kind of a popular site to do that, to create a personalized page. And so I had my page, and that was essentially the ad and the experience. So it was just like, you know, me putting myself out there saying I'm, you know, super talented, I have experience in XYZ, you know, the whole spiel, and it linked to my resume. So I started running these ads once I knew I wanted to leave, and I just thought, instead of me applying for all the jobs and sending out all these various applications, why not just, you know, invite people to contact me? And it worked. And this was back in, I'll say, 2012. This is 2012 when I was doing this. So, oh my gosh. Just took a sip of my water. It's so good. But as I was saying, I took out the ads within probably a few weeks. I feel like I started these ads probably 4th of July, 2012. Maybe a little bit before then. Yeah, this all happened very quickly. This all happened within a span of a couple months that I started getting a ton of responses to these ads. And some of them were fake or phony, and some of the responses were people just, you know, looking for an intern. Nothing that was like, a full-time salaried position, right? But eventually I was starting to get real hits, and this guy reaches out to me, and his name was Brian. His name is Brian. Brian, if you're listening to this, I don't think you ever would be, but thank you, Brian, because Brian responded to one of my ads, and he was like, hey, you seem, you know, you look very intelligent. I really like your background. You know, you went to Case Western. You have this degree in biology and anthropology. He said you would be perfect to come work on this project that I support at the NIH, the National Institutes of Health. And it's a project at the Institute of Mental Health focused on autism research. Would you be interested? And I was interested because it was fascinating. Like I said, it was right in my alley. At the time, I had no plans to go to medical school, but I honestly just wanted to get out of Ohio. I knew this job aligned very well with my background, and they were so excited to have me. They literally almost hired me on the spot. I had one quick interview with the director of this project at the Institute of Mental Health. And yeah, they really liked me. And then they hired me. I had no in-person interview. They literally hired me over either the phone, or we did some sort of like, not Zoom. What is it? What's the other one? Oh my gosh, it's been so long since I've used it. But whatever the other app is for conferencing, before there was ever Zoom or before it was popular, I can't think of it. But anyway, we did that. They hired me, and then within 2 weeks I was leaving Ohio and moving to Maryland to work at the Institute of Mental Health on the campus. So that was the job. I tell that story because that was the job of how I wound up in the DMV. It was actually very quick. Like at the time I was like, oh, it's taking forever to get a job, but it really actually happened quite quickly. And I've been very blessed in that way, where whenever I needed a job, like a really amazing opportunity just revealed itself, and it wasn't something that I really had to apply for. It was literally something that just like wound up at my footsteps, or someone contacted me. So that is truly a blessing, because that has happened several times to me, where God literally just sends the right opportunity or the right person knocking on my door. So I eventually moved and settled in Montgomery County, Maryland. It was my first real home in the DMV, and I just had an amazing time. It was honestly one of the best decisions I ever made. One of the best decisions I ever made was moving to the DMV, moving to such a thriving metropolis, a city that is so great for young Black professionals, like young, upwardly mobile, educated Black professionals. Like, it was just a great environment to be in, to network, to meet people, to just thrive off of the energy of a city where everyone's doing something interesting. Everyone is really passionate about their work and their field, and you know, they're looking to make moves, they're looking to hustle. And that is truly still the energy of DC. And yeah, there are few cities I think that would really compare in terms of the energy and that hustle and that hunger and that the pursuit of career. Like, there are a few cities, probably New York and maybe LA for the entertainment industry, but DC is another city that few other cities I've been to, and I'm pretty well traveled, I've been to many cities, few cities really carry that kind of energy in the way that DC does. So that was always, it was very appealing to me, right? Because I'm just out of college, and if you know me, I graduated college undergrad pretty young. So I was 20 when I graduated. I didn't really have a standard college experience. I was pretty young. I was pretty, you know, like an academic. I spent a lot of time studying, as did everyone, honestly, at the school I went to. I went to Case Western Reserve University, which is, you know, a big research university in Cleveland, Ohio. It's not really known for its partying. Nope, it's not really known for partying. It's not known for its sports. It's truly known for its academics and, you know, having a great a medical school, a great engineering program, a great nursing program, a really good business school. Like, Case Western Reserve is a great university. Just wasn't the most fun in terms of like socializing. I didn't really party. And like I said, I was very young. So I had kind of like a boring undergrad experience. And so I say that because when I moved to DC or the DMV, I really lived out that time, or I guess the college times I missed in my early 20s living in DC. Just the socializing, going out, networking, going to happy hour, going to the club at night, going out every weekend, going out sometimes twice, three times a weekend. Like, that really was the culture, and I guess it is still the culture, right? Like, part of it is just like aging and getting older, and now I'm in my 30s, and you know, it's not the same, but part of it was just the time at that time in that city, right? Where the nightlife was just on another level. And I recently saw this very topic being discussed on a very popular Instagram handle. So if you know Washingtonian Problems or Probs, it's one or the other, Washingtonian Probs or Washingtonian Problems, but it's a very popular Instagram account highlighting life in DC. So, you know, it's very popular for people living in the area, but they were just recently talking about the subject of the decline in nightlife and nightlife culture and quality in DC. So many historic or well-known or at the time like poppin' clubs have closed, unfortunately. It's so sad. They've closed in the city. I mean, before the pandemic, some of them closed during the pandemic. I mean, a lot of them, you know, just didn't reopen after the pandemic. So many legendary clubs. But at the time I was moving there, you know, they were all still open. Like, of course, I mean, the Park is still open, but the Park is, you know, the most legendary club. But even outside of that, I just remember just the other day I was thinking about Bar 7 and Patty Boom Boom and Marvin on U Street and Den of Thieves right next door. Someone on social media was talking about Josephine and Love and all these other legendary, considered legendary DC nightlife staples that are no longer available. And And some have lasted, some have been replaced by other less exciting, less popular establishments. So not to say that DC nightlife is bad, but it, at the time, I'm just saying at the time I first moved to the city, it was really on another level. And I was also in my early 20s. Like, it was just the right moment. So I really took advantage of that. I went out a lot. I met people a lot. And also keep in mind, this is 2012, right? So this is the year of Obama's reelection. So the energy in DC, when I tell you, it was on a whole another level. This is one of the most important things for me. I could reiterate to you that cities definitely do carry energy. Like I said, like DC has its own energy, its own culture. And at the time of the Obama administration, it was definitely an energy that I cannot explain. You just kind of have had to have lived through that and just experienced what it was like to kind of be in the chocolate city during Obama era. And it was just amazing. It was so fun. It was so easy to meet people and make friends and go out. And really, I moved here knowing very few people, just a handful of folks from college maybe, but met friends who become like lifelong friends very quickly through meetup groups, through networking events, through church, right? So that was really my experience, just having the best time ever. I really don't think anything could have duplicated that. I would never go back and change anything about that time from like 2012 to 2017. Like that period was like golden era. And when I think about my time in DC, I do often reflect on those really early years, because like I had no cares in the world. I was working, I had a good job, but I was just more so just enjoying life, enjoying the social scene, just being fun, getting dressed up and going out. Like, it just really was that kind of time in my life, as you know, it is for most early 20-somethings, mid-20-somethings. Okay, so a lot in my life changed during 2016. 2016 was the year I decided I wanted to go to business school. Or actually, no, let me scratch that. It was 2015. It was the end of 2015. I decided I wanted to go to business school for real. And I had been considering it already, but hadn't been able to commit to the idea. I had a boss at the time, and I was working at the British Medical Journal, BMJ, and she really supported me in the idea of applying to business school. So I did that. But a lot happened, right? Like, the Obama era ended, and then another era began. And like I said, like, leadership eras, it carries a different energy. So the energy definitely shifted in DC during that era, starting it, I guess, end of 2016. So if you're out there and you lived in the DMV during that time, or you still live there, maybe you can vouch for this, right? But things definitely shifted. Like, a lot of things that used to happen in DC stopped happening during that time. Different social events, different award shows. I did a whole, I think, reel about the BET Honors Awards. It was like a very prestigious award show that highlighted very important figures in the Black community that have done legendary work, and across a variety of fields and sectors. And it was a huge event. And then starting literally probably 2016, I think maybe 2017, they just stopped doing it altogether. So a lot of things like that. And I personally attribute that to the shift that happened in 2016. I will not reference anything else, but if you get it, you get it. If you know, you know. So that's what happened, I guess, around that time. And then I started business school. So my priority shifted pretty dramatically during that time. I really became quite focused. I was in, you know, business school part-time at Georgetown, but still working full-time, still working a very, very challenging, fast-paced, full-time job. And so, my life was very busy. I was going out definitely a lot less, still going out, like, not to say I wasn't, but just a lot less. Like, I definitely shifted my priorities a bit. So yes, I graduated, and then of course the pandemic hit. So I'm kind of doing a fast forward now. So the pandemic hit, bringing it back to DC, it had a very negative impact on the city, just like the pandemic did on a lot of other cities. And I often compare it to New York, how, you know, it really hurt lots of businesses, lots of thriving communities, lots of neighborhoods. I was just thinking about the pandemic, just reflecting back on that time. You know, it seems like a world ago, but then it also seems like it wasn't that long ago. And I just remember what it was like driving through Washington, D.C. and just the greater DMV without any traffic during COVID. Like, what a time. What a time when you could drive through a city like Washington, D.C. with no traffic. It really was just like such an eerie, weird, something out of the Twilight Zone. Because if you know anything about the D.C. area, it's some of the worst traffic in the country. It is some of the most painful traffic in the country. So just, again, a whole energy shift. Again, I reference energy a lot. I believe it in that, like, not on some woo-hoo, woo-wah, woo-sah, spiritual la-di-da-di, but I truly, I move myself based off energy and places. I look for cities and places and people who have warm, good energy, whose energy aligns with mine, whose heart aligns with mine, right? So, like, that's very important to me, and I do look for that in places I live, like energy alignment. So I'm often taking notice of shifting energies. So that's just another time. There was just a very dramatic shifting of energy in the city when no one was going out, when everyone was still home. Less people, no people were really commuting into the city. Everyone was working from home. And so, of course, like I said, that had a very negative impact on nightlife, on restaurants. And then one other thing, we saw a dramatic increase in was crime. Crime skyrocketed, as it did in lots of other cities, you know, suffering through this pandemic. So I just wanted to give a little timeline of just my background in the DMV, the eras that I have experienced living in the DMV, and just kind of what led to this move. So I wanted to break down the top probably like 7-8 reasons that DC is dusty. Because in my opinion, DC is very dusty right now. It was very easy to leave DC. It wasn't really a hard decision at the time when this really was revealed to me and someone came to me with this idea. I will say I'd already been considering moving to Texas. I'd already been considering leaving DC because I'd been there at this point for over a decade. I felt like I've done the DC thing. I've done everything there is to do here. I've experienced the dating scene. I'm over it. I've experienced, you know, the nightlife. I've been like that kind of like city girl who was always out and about, always going to happy hour. I mean, DC isn't that big. DC is a small city. It's a big city that feels like a small city. That's a better way to describe it. But yeah, I just kind of grown bored. That was truly the feeling. And people had been encouraging me to buy a home. And so I started that process. And I actually talked about it on this podcast probably this time last year. And I had been very serious about that. I had been visiting many homes. And none of that experience like felt right in my spirit. It just felt like, I just felt uneasy about it. I felt like maybe I was rushing things, just doing it just to do it. And I just didn't like the areas I was looking at, right? Like, I didn't like the parts of Maryland and then Virginia that I was, you know, being forced to kind of consider. Not forced, but kind of felt limited to. So yeah, no, it was definitely like kind of an easy decision to leave because I wanted something new. I wanted a new city. I wanted a new experience. And then, like I said, DC is dusty and there are unfortunately, a lot of issues that have just been unaddressed and not unaddressed, but are just growing issues. And for me, the cost of living it's not justified given a lot of these challenges. So let's break them down. I'll cover each of them. I'll discuss each of them. And then I would love to get your feedback. Like, am I right? Am I wrong? Am I missing anything? Do you think DC is doing a lot better? I would love to get your thoughts. I would love to keep this conversation going because, like I said, DC holds a special place in my heart. I still feel so strongly about it. I mean, there's no city like it, right? Like, I'm talking about, like, you know, it's a love-hate thing. You know, I'm at a point where I'm just not loving it right now. But I would love to love it again. So I hope these issues are addressed, but let's just discuss them one by one. Okay, let's get into reason number one. DC is crime-ridden. As I mentioned, crime has really been on an uptick since the pandemic. And just do a quick Google search for Washington, DC crime and news, and just Google some of these crazy headlines. Like, DC is really Gotham right now. It is truly the Wild Wild West. The number of violent crimes taking place in broad daylight, very busy areas, corridors, it's very, very alarming. Let me pull up some of these headlines just to reiterate what I'm saying. I'm looking at an article now on MSNBC. Why DC is bucking the trend when it comes to violent crime. Homicide rates fell sharply in many major cities in 2023, but in Washington, DC, it soared. So the article basically states that most major cities like New York, LA, Chicago, Houston, Phoenix all saw declines in homicide rates in 2023, but in Washington, DC, that rate increased by 35% in 2023, and violent crime increased by 39%, which is even higher, while it largely declined elsewhere. Isn't that crazy? It's crazy that more people aren't talking about this, how much violence we are being exposed to, or I was being exposed to, right, living there. And you can see it even on all these popular Instagram profiles like Washingtonian and Only in the DMV. I mean, there's so many now that cover a lot of the local news and these crimes that are being perpetuated, and a lot of them by the youth, which is very unfortunate. I'm looking at another article now on the Washington Post, and this one is dated March 17th, 2024. So about a month ago, this is posted on Washington Post. Opinion piece, can anything stop the DC crime wave? The first paragraph, last year saw the most homicides in Washington since 1997. 19 children, including a 10-year-old, were among the 274 slain, a six-fold increase in juvenile murder since 2012. Teens held up Uber and Lyft drivers at gunpoint and literally killed for cars. A congressman was carjacked in October. Insane. I'm looking at another one on Axios, which is actually saying that in 2024, DC homicide rates are declining after last year's spike. So maybe it's improving. I don't really know. But all I can say is that, yeah, I can definitely see that when I am out in DC. I can also speak to a shooting that I witnessed. And not so much witnessed, like I was actually very, very close to this shooting and just experienced the chaos that ensued after the shooting. And this was, I want to say, 2021 or early 2022. I think this is 2022. And I was out with a friend, surprise, surprise, around 14th and U. So to be specific, we were not far away from Brooklyn on U. And it was very late at night. It was like a Saturday night. So think like peak activity, peak traffic, right? And people out and about. Literally people pouring out of everywhere because there are lots of clubs and bars and XYZ, right, in this area. we hear gunshots, and there are gunshots coming from the 7-Eleven, which is like across the street from us. And so we immediately fall to the ground, fall to the concrete because we were on the sidewalk. At the time, I was wearing like this bustier top and jeans, so I had like nothing covering my arms. I was wearing these little sandals and had a little purse, and we literally went flying to the sidewalk, when I tell you, when we heard those first gunshots. And we just literally laid on our stomachs and started crawling literally on our elbows into Brooklyn on U. And the big security guard is like, hurry up, come on, come on. And when I tell you, people are running and screaming as all this is happening. And this probably only happened over the course of a minute, but it felt like forever. I have scars even now because I'm literally, like I said, on my elbows, and I don't have any material. Like, I just have my bare elbows. And so I was super scraped up and bloodied, and I lost my shoes and my purse, and the person I was with went and got those things. But it was a very traumatic experience at the time. I had never been that close to any gun violence, so it was very jarring, to say the least. Like, we both were like, what the actual F? What was that? And if I'm remembering correctly, we'd only like kind of decided to go out very last minute and was only going to one place to get a drink. So it wasn't like we were having some grand night. It was just a very terrible, terrible coincidence that we were out there when that happened. But fortunately, no one was injured, no one was hurt, no one was shot, but it was still very jarring and just speaks to like how commonplace that is. Like, there are shootings that happen every day. Like I said, broad daylight, carjackings, shootings, robberies, people's dogs getting stolen. Like, it's so commonplace, and it's happening every day, and we're seeing it all over the news and social media. So yeah, that's alarming. It has been alarming to me, and I'm sure if you are living in the DMV, this is probably a very recurring fear or worry for you as well, given all this violent crime. Okay, on to reason number two, DC is dusty. It's because DC is lonely. DC is a terrible city for dating. I cannot overstress that. DC is a very lonely city, which is proven by a recent study. According to the Census Bureau, Washington, DC officially named the loneliest city in America. Yeah, this is also not surprising to me. I saw this published last year, and immediately I said yes. Yes, that is true. People in DC DMV are very, very lonely. Very lonely. And some of the data points this study points out, 70% of the adult population in Washington, D.C. is single. It is the highest percentage of singles in the country. Another interesting data point, there are 5% more single women than single men, making the dating pool generally pretty crappy. Meaning that the odds are forever in men's favor with that kind of male to female ratio. And that has long been a thing. Like, that has been a known thing that, yeah, there are way, way more eligible single women than there are eligible single men for dating. It's even smaller pool when you're talking about the black community and black men and women, but that's not what we're here to talk about. I'm really not here to talk about the dating scene in DC. Like, it is totally crappy. Everything you've heard about it is true. And I mean, I don't really want to get into that because I don't really want to talk too much about myself in that. I mean, I'm, you know, I could speak to this very, very well. I sometimes joke with friends that I could create a show very similar to a very popular one on a streaming service. And it's called Harlem. And it's about the dating life and experiences of four black women in Harlem. I could totally, easily make a show called Chocolate City about the lives of four Black single women living in the Washington, D.C. area. Like, that would not be hard at all to do, because just the dating experiences of the women I know are so crazy and would make for great entertainment. But yes, the dating pool is crappy. It's got all the garbage in it and all the terrible things in it. And it's everything people say. And why is that? Like, if we're really going to break it down, people are so lonely because people are terrible at relationships and aren't relationship focused in DC, right? Because I already referenced that DC is a great city to advance your career, and it attracts a lot of very educated people, and a lot of people go and work for the federal government, and a lot of people work on the Hill. Like, it attracts a lot of people with a lot of talent and who are very skilled and educated and are looking to get ahead, right? They're looking to build a career. They're looking to advance their career. Their work dictates their life, right? And they're not prioritizing relationships and dating in the same way. So yeah, most people do struggle with dating in DC. Like, that's definitely a thing. And yeah, if you're ever just interested, please check out The Loneliest City in America. And even funny about this, like, there are a few other DMV area places not far behind. Let's see if I can find them. Yeah, Richmond, Virginia is also close behind Baltimore, Maryland. Like, none of that is that surprising, honestly. But again, this article referenced, oh, Alexandria, Virginia is also included here. So I can say with quite certainty, like, this does not just apply to Washington, D.C. proper. This applies to the greater DMV region. 30% of women living alone, 28% of men living alone. It all makes sense, right? Like, people extend their young adult years quite a bit in the DMV as well. Like, it's not uncommon to see. I mean, it's very common to see older single bachelor men in the club all the time. Like, it's totally different, right? And it's always so jarring when I go back to my hometown or go back to Ohio, and everyone, you know, is in their 30s, and everyone's settled and married and has kids and is living that suburban life, like, very early. And I don't know, early is relative, right? But early in comparison to my Washington, D.C. network and people, you know, on the East Coast, where that's not the priority. People aren't looking to settle down. People aren't actively prioritizing marriage in that way at all. So yeah, that falls to the wayside. And then I think when people are ready, it's like, they're a bit older, right? So that, I mean, that's very common. It's very common. But I just wanted to call that out because I'm just kind of over that. I'm just kind of over that culture and wanted something different. So number two, DC is lonely. All right, number three, DC has below average food. Ugh. Yeah, this is so true. DC, the food scene is subpar. Coming to Dallas, I instantly thought, wow, the food is so much better tasting here. Why does DC have such terrible food with such high prices? It's outrageous to me. Actually, the last meal I had, I was out with a friend. This is literally maybe a few nights before I actually flew down here. And we were having like one last dinner at a very swanky, very trendy, but new, more expensive restaurant, I'll say. Like, let's give this place $4 signs out of 5. And we had dinner, but everything was just so blah to me. Like, totally lacking seasoning, totally lacking flavor, just not good at all. And it was outrageous when I saw the bill, and I thought, wow, I'm so unsatisfied to be paying this much for dinner. And it just speaks to, for me, just how unenjoyable the food is in the DC area. I don't know if it was ever considered an amazing food city, but maybe decent. I feel like also gentrification and the ongoing gentrification has killed food and good quality food And let me be clear, I'm also speaking specifically about Washington, D.C. Now, if you were to travel outside of the district, let's say, I feel like, I'm confident, I know this. I know this, that you will find better tasting food, a wider variety of food, in places you wouldn't expect. Like, I'm a hole in the wall type girl. I love to go on Yelp or Google or TripAdvisor or wherever, but I've always been a Yelp girly. I regret not being Yelp elite. If you know, you know, but I've always been a Yelp girly from the early days of like 2011, 2012. I swear by Yelp. You know, living in Maryland, living in Virginia as well, I've been able to find like really amazing food, all different types of cuisines, and places that aren't so swanky or trendy or expensive. Like, the best Thai food I've had in my entire life is in like a strip mall in Northern Virginia. So yeah, that's a whole nother kind of conversation around like the gentrification of different cultures and types of food. But no, I think gentrification has killed like a decent food scene in the city. Recent food critics have trashed food options. Like, think of, oh man, I hate to reference this guy, but Darius Cooks, is that his name? I know he's very controversial, but he is a very popular social media cook who does food tours in different cities, and he goes to different like very prominent Black establishments and other establishments, and he rates the food, you know, and this is all based on his opinion, but I know he came here and trashed I'm actually here in DC, but no, he went to DC and trashed all of the popular like Black food chains. It was actually kind of painful, like my feelings are hurt, and we're talking about Carolina. We're talking about Carolina Kitchen. We're talking about Uzana's. We're talking about Georgia Brown's, like, trashed all of it. And I had to agree with him. Like, it's not the most amazing food. If you're looking for amazing food, it's going to be harder to find. Like food that would live up to like a true Southerner standards. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's more difficult. Like, I've never been wowed. I've never been wowed by Ben Schliebel. Is that controversial? Like, I hope it's not, because it's just okay. I'll lastly reference an article by the Wall Street Journal. It's entitled, "Why No One Goes Out to Eat in DC Anymore. Misguided public policies led to fear on the streets and surcharges on restaurant bills." Yeah, the turnover of restaurants here is crazy. The restaurant scene, as I said, is dying. Yeah, and they kind of talk about the history of the food scene in recent years. And in 2016, the city received its first Michelin guide, accolades from top food magazines. But it's definitely shifted. I give the food a solid B minus in DC. I give it a solid B minus. Not the worst, but not the best. All right, number four. DC is bland. So this one kind of goes along with number three and having below average food. But DC is becoming more and more bland, lacking a little bit of culture, like I said, a little bit of authenticity. You know, that cool factor that made DC so cool back in the day. Like, I just feel as if the city has been diluted through gentrification, as I already said. But I just think of all the legendary places that have closed again, like Bohemian Caverns, a very legendary jazz club, a historic Black jazz club that was what? Was it on U Street or in Shaw? I mean, I think it wasn't in that area, but, you know, the most legendary jazz figures performed in this very intimate club that literally looks like a cave, or looked like a clay cave, closed down. I want to say, what, 2017? Around then? And probably been replaced by, like, a Crate and Barrel or something. You know what I mean? So, the ongoing gentrification has watered down the culture, has water down the coolness, I'll say, for sure. And in a lot of ways, certain neighborhoods look like any other cookie cutter. But one other plus for DC is that like the historic architecture is really special. Like I love walking through a charming DC neighborhood like Georgetown, like Capitol Hill. Those are some of my favorites off of the very tip of my tongue, but also Cleveland Park. Oh, Cleveland Park is probably the most gorgeous neighborhood in all of DC, in my opinion. The homes there are second to none. It would truly be a dream to own real estate in Cleveland Park in Washington, DC. But yeah, as I said, I kind of went off on another tangent, but in my opinion right now, current state, 2024, DC is a little bland, lacking culture, lacking authenticity. Everything's starting to feel the same. Everything is starting to look the same. Even the events, even the brunches. Like you can only do brunch so many times, right? Like how could you charge $75 for a brunch? How are you charging the people $75 for bottomless orange juice with a splash of champagne and some scrambled eggs? Like I cannot justify that anymore. It's not worth it. Cool. So moving into number five, DC is dusty because DC is expensive. You need that coin. You need that coin to live in DC proper, but really the DMV in its entirety. I don't even want to tell y'all what I was paying in rent in DC at the time I left, but it was outrageous. And DC has consistently ranked in the top 10 most expensive US cities. But apartment rent currently is 125% higher than the national average for apartment rent. The cost of living is atrocious. It's truly heinous. It's truly heinous. And if you know, you know, this is something that if you live in DC, you feel. You feel every time, every month, and then your cost of living. And when you're going out and when you're getting groceries, just everything is going to cost you more in the DMV. I am saving a ton of money just by living in Dallas. I'll just say that. Going out in DC will cost you an arm and a leg. Like I said, going out just to get dinner is going to run you $100, $150. Easy. Easy. That's not even talking about going to get drinks or doing other things. So everything is very expensive in DC and getting more expensive. The cost of living seems to be increasing. Some more data points just to drive home this fact of just DC being very expensive. I'm on a website right now called DC Real Estate Mama. She has a blog just breaking down the insane cost of living in DC. I just want to reference the cost of housing and homes in the DMV. So DC, a single family home or row home closes at an average price of $1.1 million. Condos at around 0.6 million. In Arlington, for a single family home or row home, $1.3 million. We're not even talking about DC. This is just Arlington, Northern Virginia, which, as you know, is also very expensive. Alexandria, Virginia, single family and row home, $1.1 million. Fairfax County, I mean, that varies a lot. McLean, Bethesda, Maryland, $1.6 million. For a single family home. Let's talk about just apartment rent. Average rent for a one bedroom in the last year as follows. DC around $2,300, which is surprisingly isn't as high as I thought. Arlington around $2,000. Alexandria around $2,000. Bethesda around $2,000. Silver Spring around $1,700. So it's very expensive. It's more expensive to live in DC clearly than most other major US cities. And for me, when I was assessing whether or not to continue living in the DMV, I just could not continue to justify the cost of living by the quality of life I was receiving living there, if that makes sense. All right, number six, I believe. DC is cold and competitive. And this is already an area I've already discussed somewhat, but DC is, I would say, an overly career-obsessed city and culture, and it was fun and kind of exciting in my 20s and when I was in business school and just that kind of pace and energy, but people work a lot. People work a lot in DC. People are very career focused. People are looking to build their resumes and to network and to, you know, pour a lot into their profession. People come here for that specifically. So people place a lot of value and importance on career and schooling. It's kind of a joke. The first question someone will ask you in DC when you're first meeting is, oh, where did you go to school? Who do you work for? What do you do? And it's a joke, but it's mostly true. That's very much a thing for people to not lead with anything else other than who do you work for? What do you do? Where did you go to school? Because people really do care about that here. And it was starting to feel kind of cold. So I'm kind of happy to step outside of that for right now. All right, and we are at the last reason. Number 7, DC is dusty. So because DC is a very transient city. So as I mentioned, people come to DC for their careers, for an internship, for school, for a short time. And a lot of people don't put down roots in DC. Some people do, but I can speak for myself and the friends that I've had. And I've had a lot of friends move away after getting married, and some of my friends have gotten married, although it's rare, but they've moved back to their hometowns, they've moved to other cities for work, they've moved back to their home countries. I've had international friends who've done that. So people are always kind of coming and going, and so that's also a little bit unappealing for me. It's kind of nice to be in an area where people are a bit more settled, they are putting down roots. And, yeah, DC is just very much the hustle and bustle and people kind of using it as a stepping stone in some ways to the next thing, the next chapter, the next career. So yeah, DC is transient. Not much else to say there. Also just want to mention, I didn't want to like actually call these out as like one of the 7 on this list, but rats too. Like DC is a little dirty. Can we talk about it? Like it's a beautiful city, but it's a little dirty. There is a huge rat infestation problem throughout the city, as it is in New York and probably other East Coast cities. And mosquitoes. Mosquitoes as well as the rats. I am so over all the mosquitoes from the months of like April to September. It's just annoying. I'm tired of being bitten up every time I go outside. So it's kind of nice to move away from that as well. I've yet to truly research whether Dallas does attract a good amount of mosquitoes, but I don't think so. I think I'm a little bit safe here, but I'll have to look that up. So that is it for my list of reasons that DC is dusty. DC is on the decline. Questionable leadership. Questionable leadership. Odd time. Weird energy. A lot of violence. A lot of lonely people. A lot of lonely hearts. Very expensive. Your pockets will be empty. But I don't want to just end on this kind of dramatic negative note. I do want to say that I love DC. There's a reason why I stayed in the DMV for so long, because it is so diverse, because it is such a well-educated city that there's just so many opportunities, job opportunities, networking, career. You'll just meet amazing people. It's a beautiful city. It's a beautiful European inspired design city with gorgeous monuments. And, you know, you have to remember that it is the nation's capital. So you do have access to a lot of museums, a lot of free events, a lot of free, you know, cultural attractions and excursions. So that part is beautiful as well. There's just a lot to appreciate about the city, the diversity within the city, just the proximity to other large cities on the East Coast as well. That is one thing I'll miss, just being able to hop on a train or a plane or a bus and do a day trip in another big city that's reasonably close. So that's something you can't do as easily here in Texas, I'll say. But that's it. That's it. That is everything I had. If you have any other things that I may have missed that I should have highlighted, feel free to sound off, like send me a message, a comment, an email. Let me know if any of this resonated with you. I'm going to skip the three things I'm loving this week because this has already been a long episode. Thank you for hanging in there with me. I am going to go eat some dinner and watch some Netflix. I'll probably put on The Circle. That's maybe one of the things I can tell you I've been loving this week. But yeah, I'm just going to chillax for a little bit. It's just been, somewhat of a long day. So I wanted to get this in. But thank you so, so much for listening. Thank you. I really do genuinely appreciate the support. I appreciate folks that find these episodes interesting and want to support. And I will see you in the next one. Toodles!